It's good to have Azra and Dalip with us, who are members of Muswell Hill. Azra, Dalip, tell us a bit about yourselves.
Shall I go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Matt, my name is Azra. I was born into a Muslim family in Calcutta on the east side of India. And luckily for me, we were a very, my parents were very enlightened and allowed us to think. And though we were a practicing Muslim family, we were encouraged to see the good things in other people's faith. So I think that formed a lot of how I looked at other people and looked at the world. So that was my background. But Dalip, you want to come in, say something about your family?
It's very similar. We came from similar backgrounds, though I came in from a Christian family. My father was a Quaker, my mother a good Anglican. And I met Azra in my mother's school, and we fell in love, and our families agreed to our marriage. And more importantly, we then agreed to bring up our children as Christians. And so a little later, in our lives, at the right time, when Azra was ready, she decided to become a Christian. And we've been Christians now for almost 45 or more years.
That's brilliant. And I wondered, Azra, what was that like? I mean, obviously, you said that you was encouraged to be open. Your families, was your families really, was the full support, obviously, of Dalit being a Christian and you being a Christian in time?
Well, Matt, that is a story I would like to share, because when I met Dalip and there was this whole question of, you know, a Muslim marrying a Christian, there is a term in Islam called Ahle Kitab, which means the people of the book. And so my parents said, there is no problem. We all come from the same root, the same Abrahamic root. And so we have absolutely no problem with you marrying someone who comes from a Christian background. But my own personal faith journey was something for me very unique, because after we got married, we decided that we wanted to have unity in the family as far as bringing up the children go, and that we would like to bring them up as Christians. I had no problem with that. And therefore, I started looking into Christianity, with the result that I met many wonderful people. And for me, the key was that they all accepted me the way I was. They never passed judgment. They never said, oh, you're a Muslim, or this or that. Always felt very accepted and respected, with the result that I started looking at Christianity as something very special, a religion that did not exclude people. And slowly I could feel the draw towards Christianity. But within myself was this fear, because we were a very close-knit family, and I was afraid to make that step. But the closer I came to Jesus, the more I felt his call and his power. I read about his stories and the power he had to reach out and touch people and change their lives. And I said, I want this for myself. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be afraid. And then there was the time when I genuinely believe that I felt the light of his presence come in and surround me 3 nights in succession, Matt, when I was all alone, one evening after the other. And then finally I said, Lord, what do you want from me? I believe in you. And he said, no, for me, it's all or nothing. You have to take that step. Don't be afraid. I will take care of your fears, but you have to take that step. And that's when I decided there was no turning back. I had to accept Jesus into my life. And it's been wonderful ever since. When I say wonderful, I mean, everything hasn't been tickety-boo, but it has been amazing. My journey with him has been just amazing. So he is the Lord of my life. That's what I want to say. It's not just a conversion, you know, becoming a Christian, but it was that personal, you know.
Yeah.
Inviting him into my life, basically, to be the Lord of my life.
I was just thinking it reflects like with Saul and Paul, but obviously without the persecuting people along the way, which a conversion. But Interesting, at college, I was one of my highest marks I got was my interfaith module when I was training for the ministry. But yeah, it was the 1 week we had where it really divided students, and there was lots of arguments in the common room. And I discovered that day that I'm more what is called a pluralist. So I'm on the other end where the Bible is right for me. Jesus is my relationship. Is for me, but not for everybody else. It could be it's a relationship. While some of the people in our, you know, Stuart, were very much, well, the Bible says, were very much, no, it's Jesus or nothing. And it was really interesting. And I think, would you agree, both, that the good thing about having these months of Black History Month, Heritage Months, where we can try and get rid of all this, what is unconscious bias, and work together. You said it, Azra, unity. Would you say that's really important, really, in the life of the church?
We have to understand this is a reality amongst Christians, Matt, and it's sad. That it can become very exclusionary in that we believe Jesus is only for us. While it is okay for us, we start condemning others who haven't found Jesus or don't follow Jesus as we know. And I cannot believe in the world we have today, God is not meeting other people in other ways in some time. Well, for me, it is through Jesus Christ. We've got to recognize, and both Azra and I have relatives in our family who are of other faiths or no faith. I don't think they're going to be condemned. So I have to be very pluralist, like you, and more than anything else, if I'm going to be genuinely coming up out of a country that has got so many complications because of religion, we've got to be not triumphalist, but open-ended, proud of our Christianity, but at the same time willing to listen to and work with. And we've always done it in India. We've gone to other people's festivals and they've come to our festivals. And both Azra and I, during our work in India and our lives in India, people have admired that while we are Christian, we are open to talk to people of other faiths.
Absolutely. And that's really important. And I love, sometimes I love actually being more on the streets, walking alongside people than I do in our churches sometimes. I, you know, like you, Dalip and Azra, I have people in my family. I'm sure my sister won't mind me saying this if she's not listening to it on the podcast or on YouTube, that she would say she's probably an atheist, but yet she demonstrates good Christian values. And what is our values is, I would say, good values in the kingdom are inclusive, justice-seeking, and what two great values we could have really at Muswell Hill, because there are people who go to churches all over the world who say that they're brilliant at being Christian on a Sunday, but yet we have people who maybe they don't know Jesus, don't have a faith, but actually they demonstrate better what we would call Christian values than those who come to church. Would you agree?
Absolutely, I would agree. And I'd also say that amongst the people I've met through my journey of life, Matt, I feel there are many, many people outside the church and belonging to other faiths who have many Christ-like values and Christ-like characteristics, you know. And so what do we mean by Jesus Christ is the way? Is he? It's him, isn't it? It's his life, the way he touched people, the way he lived for others. I mean, those are the things that we should value most.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we can do that and we put differences aside, then I feel that when we're demonstrating inclusion, and that means actually not always agreeing on things. We see it lots in the life of the Methodist Church where people would say, I don't agree with this, so I'm leaving. I think you know what I mean with what we've discussed recently. But actually, inclusion for me means people where they have different opinions, what they vote, what they eat, what they believe, different opinions, but can still see a fellow sister and brother made in the image of God.
Yeah.
And if we can get that into people's minds, where inclusion doesn't mean that we all have to think this, but inclusion where all different opinions are represented around the table, then I think that is how we could potentially grow a church. I wondered, what do you think to that?
Totally, totally agree with you, Matt.
But the challenge, Matt, for us as Christians, whether we're Methodists or any else, the thing is, the concept of unity is not that we agree on everything, not even the understanding that we follow exactly the same model and observation of Christianity. The concept of unity must be, like you've just now implied, that we're willing to talk to people and make them all inclusive in our community and fellowship and thing. And we'll agree to disagree on certain matters. Mm. As we say in our Methodist church, we accept contradictory convictions. And we've done it in the past, and we'll continue to do it present and in the future.
Mm.
I know one of my professors in my religious studies used to tell me, if all are thinking alike, you can be sure only one man is thinking and all the others are following him or her.
That's really good. I like that one.
So I feel we should allow people to have a little bit of differences,
but
be clear on the fundamental agreements. So that I think is important, that we are clearer on these fundamentals, but not be so strict that everybody follows it exactly my way or the way or the Methodist way. I am convinced that Christ loves a plurality. If he's made a world that is so diverse, he's going to make people who are diverse.
Absolutely. And I think that's a wonderful way, isn't it, of actually welcoming all people. I think sometimes we see that all are welcome on our terms, on Christians' terms. That's why I've often said in services that I love the hymn, "All are welcome in this place." Love it. Absolutely love it.
Absolutely.
But I dislike it as well.
Believe it, Matt.
Yeah.
Deep in our hearts, we need to believe that, yes,
absolutely,
everyone, come around the table. Mm. Christ is here and he loves us all.
But sometimes we forget. One of the things about last night's talk was that we remember that from the very early church and all through Christianity, there have been divisions, there have been differences, and there have been arguments about the Acts of the Apostles is full of whose follower are you and should you be circumcised and are Gentiles welcome? These debates and things will carry on. And if people follow different forms of Christianity, there's nothing wrong in that. The reality is, are we willing to talk to and work with people of other faiths and of our different versions of Christianity? Because sometimes we are willing to talk to other people of other faiths, but we criticize some of our fellow Christians. And I do that. I know I can't stand some Christians from southern part of America and what they're doing. But that's my thing. I have to deal with that. The problem that I have of that kind where politics and Christianity are mixed in a way that promotes guns and promotes other awful things. But then it's my problem, not the problem of the whole church. And I still love those people.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because certainly when you look at other, and I have the culture in America in Christianity, I think some of that's coming creeping over here as well. I've had some Christians that have messaged me on social media, nothing to do with Muswell Hill, you'd be pleased to know, but outside of London, of agreeing with the government about stopping the boats and things like this. And you're thinking, gosh, you know, but yet I still have to love that person who has those views. And it's really difficult at times because inclusion, scripture, it's speaking so loud to me. And that's why, as I said, I love that hymn, "All are welcome in this place," but I dislike it because the minute if somebody goes and sits in the pew where you always sit, or people sit on the one side, then we're not that welcoming. And as I said, in services before, why does churches have mission statements that says we are a welcoming church?
I know.
They never put we're an unwelcoming church. They never, it's like they want some, you know, they want some Blue Peter point badge for saying we're a welcoming church. I mean, that's like saying a football team, we play football. Surely we should be, everybody should be a welcoming church. We don't need to sell that we are a welcoming church.
But in the long run, Matt, it's good to remind ourselves that it's central to our faith
Absolutely.
To be a welcoming community. It's central to our faith to be an inclusive community. It's central to our faith to be a community that reaches out to those who have been hurt, marginalized, and in different ways troubled. It is central to our thing is to specially welcome people like refugees and people who have been so hurt by society and by our systems and structures. So I think it's a polite reminder what the faith is really about.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And finally, I mean, I could speak to you all day and I just don't know where this time has gone really. But just to finish off with Muswell Hill Methodist Church, we have got so much going on. We work with refugees. We have people, you shared your story about with Calcutta and how you, Azra, you met Dalip. And then we have people from Iran and the Windrush, West Africa. What would you like to see at Muswell Hill Methodist Church?
Matt, sometimes I feel we are really doing actually a very good job. I think we have diversified our activities. We have the young, we have the not so young. We have all kinds of ways that we are welcoming people to the building during the week. During the weekends, we have activities that have spread quite far and wide. And I think what we're doing, if we do that well, I think that is a good start for the moment. And we should take our lead from the communities, keep our ears and eyes open, see, listen to what people have to say, and then follow their lead and see, well, what do you think? Would you like this? Would you like us to do something? If we started this, would you come? You know, like the Alpha course, we could have more perhaps open evenings when we could discuss things. We were talking to Liz Gamble the other day and we said, why don't we talk about death? Why don't we talk about things like that, that sometimes we are fearful to talk about openly. So maybe a few things like that, and we just invite everyone over. But I think we are doing a great job, Matt. I really think we need to think that, know that, really, accept it.
Thing I want to add to what I was saying is thank you for your leadership and thank you for your challenges. And we need to challenge each other because we can be too comfortable sometimes in our Christianity. So thank you for that. But also, I think we have to know, recognize some of our limitations. And nothing wrong in saying we can't do everything. We can do a few things well, and we look at where there's need, and more importantly, where we really make a difference. Having said both of that, as what Azra says, I think our church needs opportunities of genuine discussion of our faith in its relationship to the world. For instance, with the debates, because our age group, what is it, as I said, about death and dying? What do we feel about assisted dying? What do we feel about some of the debates that are taking place in our society, how we treat refugees and how we treat other people of other faiths? And sometimes those kind of debates will complement what we listen to on Sunday in our Bible study, in our Bible reflections. And maybe these are going on in the home groups and the house groups, but we don't know. And it'll be better if sometimes we had an open discussion after a service or one evening. I think Debbie's session yesterday was a very good start, and I was happy to. But we didn't discuss our faith or the growth of faith in that session. I don't mean it, and I don't want to hurt Debbie by that, but I learned so much about South Africa and so much of what the situation has gone through with all the troubles in the past. I found that fascinating. And it was not automatically connected to our faith. It was a real life situation of people of different backgrounds dealing with the challenges and the awfulness of apartheid and the way the politics was condoned both by the church and by the government. And that is part of our faith.
Mm. Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, it's been great to catch up with you both. And this will be shared for people to listen to. And I hope we can learn from that. And I'll finish off with that. Absolutely. I'm really encouraged with what's happening at Muswell Hill. And having something like last night, what we had with Debbie, was a wonderful way of starting where we can have these discussions, big discussions, future discussions about how we, what is there more to life than this, and death and refugees. And I think if we did that and had that discussions of now and again, monthly discussions that people can come to, then that would be a real mission opportunity, because it's questions also, not what we're just asking, but what the people out in the community are asking.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
So, thank you very much, both, for joining us. And
thank you, Matt.
God bless you in your ministry, Matt. We love you.
We love you. We're very lucky to have you, Matt.
Okay.
Love you too.
We
thank you.
Know that.